Welcome to Kansas City Cannabis, where local roots and city pride thrive. Whether you're new or seasoned to cannabis, our expert bud tenders offer guidance and a welcoming atmosphere at our four KC locations. Experience genuine service and hometown heart. Visit kccannabis.org for more.
Border Patrol is presented by Walker Medical Linen Services. Walker Medical Linen specializes in bed linens, towels, scrubs, and lab coats. Family owned and operated for over 140 years. Find out why hospitals of all sizes, surgery centers, and medical clinics trust Walker Medical Linen. Online at walkermls.com.
All right, we've got the man, Jeff Chavilla, in studio now. And Jeff, I just want you to know, I know this is very important to you. My DraftKings account is a little heavier today than it was yesterday because I've been listening to you tell me about how good this Eagles roster is.
Okay.
And while everybody was fancying the Vikings because of their performance in week one against Green Bay, I said, no. Jeff Chedia tells me this Eagles team might be the best team in the NFC. So I went in on the Eagles last night, and I was happy I did it. I didn't expect them to dominate the way that they did, but that was a convincing performance from your Eagles last night.
Oh, yeah. Were you dancing like Ty Lebo was just dancing in the lead-in music here? I thought we had to get call 911, get the paddles.
Was Lebo dancing like an Gesicki was it Gesicki that was trying to do the gritty in the Dolphins end zone?
I'm not going to try
more like Mac Brown trying to do whatever he was doing in the locker room.
I'm
with
doing
his team
better than Mac Brown.
It just came out of nowhere. I was like, man, it's too early in the morning for that.
Well, I heard Jeff Chedia's theme song.
Yeah.
So I was excited.
He was inspired. Like, this is a great segue, like the Eagles were last night. And they did, look, I think them and Buffalo, they both put on a show last night. But what the Eagles did was more eye-opening just because of just how big of a mess the NFC is right now. And I was talking about how I wrote about this for the 49ers having Garoppolo playing. It's a big boost for them with the way you look at how Green Bay is right now and Tampa and Dallas and the Rams. But, you know, it's the Eagles have had a lot of talent for a couple of years here. And what you're seeing now is that defense playing at a higher level. You're seeing the impact of A.J. Brown on other skilled players. And you're seeing Jalen Hurts mature before your eyes. I mean, last year, he made some plays this year that he wasn't making last year, especially because the Chiefs played them around the same time of the year.
Right.
And just the plays from the pocket, the maturity. He's always had the athletic ability, and you saw that in some of the runs he had. But this is a team that believes that they've got a great shot, a great window to do something big in the NFC because, one, they've got talent, and two, they've got timing.
Okay, so we could talk about the Eagles' offense, but we've talked about you know, Jalen Hurts and the skill position players they have before. Did you guys see the next-gen stats on Darius Slay's performance against Justin Jefferson last night? For those that didn't, he had more interceptions than receptions allowed as the nearest defender on five targets to Justin Jefferson. Five targets, he had one catch for 7 yards. Slay picked it off twice. His teammate, Zach McPherson, said Slay took one of the best receivers in the world and he put him in a car seat. I've never heard that phrase before. But, dude, how impressive was that performance by the Eagles' defense overall and Slay in particular?
Well, he's always been one of the more underrated defenders in the league, mainly because he was playing for the Lions to start his career and people didn't get to see him do all that much, but he's spent most of his career going against great receivers. Obviously, what they had in that division for years with Devontae Adams and Allen Robinson and you know, the guys in Minnesota. So you knew that he was somebody who was seasoned and he was up to the task. I mean, again, a team like this, when you have a chance to play in prime time and you have a chance to be on a big stage against another team that's bringing in a receiver who's had a huge week one, who's talking about being the best receiver in the world. You want that kind of challenge. And this team, it reminds me a lot of their championship team from whatever it was 5 years ago, when they had, a young quarterback, a lot of really good players in unskilled positions, really strong in the defensive line and the offensive line. I mean, one reason why Slay is getting those opportunities is because they were pressuring Kirk Cousins. They were giving him problems. And they've already lost, with Derek Barnett, one of their better pass rushers. But they've made some really good moves, been very astute in what they've done. Picked up James Bradbury from the Giants, in the offseason, a guy that, people thought might come to the Chiefs at some point, and that was never really serious. But Bradbury's a good player. And so you've got Bradbury, you've got Slay, you've got playmakers on all three levels of their defense. Yeah, I mean, they are legit. And I thought they'd win the NFC East. Very good chance they can win the whole NFC.
So what the quarterback needs to be kind of either not get in the way or elevate you, right?
Yeah.
In last year, Jalen Hurts, he got hurt a little bit, and Gardner Minshew was there, and people love Gardner Minshew because of the mustache or whatever. I don't know. You know what I mean?
The name, too.
Yeah, and the name and all that. And they made a playoff last year, right? And they weren't very good. They lost to Tampa in the playoff game. But what can Jalen Hurts be? Can he be a quarterback that can help lead you, or is he still going to be kind of a facilitator type guy? Because people don't think about him as one of these young quarterbacks. All the stuff that was thrown on Trey Lance or Justin Fields in the NFC, or what we've seen out of Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes and all these guys in the AFC.
Yeah, well, I think his ceiling is somewhere below Lamar Jackson, somewhere below a Kyler Murray when they're at the top of their games as far as ability level. But he does seem like a more playmaking Alex Smith type quarterback. If you know what I mean. I mean, he can do the thing with his legs, but the way he's grown with his arm, his instinctiveness, he just challenges people. What I love about the way he plays, and you saw him in Oklahoma when he was there for a year, is that he's not somebody who's going to just, I hope I can make this happen. Let me not make a mistake here. Like, he's going to go for it in his own way. You saw it on those two runs he had for touchdowns. And when you play that way, it can have a huge effect on your team, especially your offensive line. I think one reason they run the ball so well and they have a great offensive line is those kind of players like playing for those kind of quarterbacks, right? Mm-hmm. A guy who's going to put it all on the line. That's why Cam Newton was always so popular in Carolina with his teammates, because they knew he was going to do whatever it takes to win games. So I don't think he's ever going to be at the same level of a Justin Herbert, Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes, but he does have some qualities that those guys have that can help him be a successful quarterback. He's got to do it for a whole season, though.
Right. This is just two games. And he is – we've been talking about, Mahomes mentioning PFF last week and all that kind of stuff. I know this from being a fan of watching Jalen Hurts, both in college at Alabama and Oklahoma, and what he's trying to do so far at the NFL. He remembers anything that anyone had said about him. He's got that chip, and he's been told a lot of times, he got benched.
Yeah,
he got benched at Alabama during the middle of the freaking national championship game, and he had to leave and go somewhere else, And he didn't get picked in the first round, and he's had to fight for his job and do all these things. So he's got plenty of ammunition carrying around that people told him he can't do it, and that can be a very valuable thing you can put that with some skill and a great roster.
Yeah, well, I always feel like I think we've talked about this before on the show, is that I've always felt like the quarterbacks who succeed at a high level at this game now are the ones who have those kinds of experiences, the ones who don't take it for granted. I think it's always tougher for someone like a Trevor Lawrence to play at a high level in this league, because everything you've done has been a success. It's different when you're Aaron Rodgers and you got to go to a junior college and you're sitting in the draft day, sitting in the draft room for
4 hours,
whatever. It's different when you're Josh Allen. Nobody wants to draft you. Patrick Mahomes was a 3-star recruit coming out of college. Tom Brady was a 6th-round pick. So all these things, all those things he went through, Jalen Hurts went through earlier in his career, matter now. Because every time he goes into an offseason, you're seeing him get better. That's one of the best things you can say about him. Every time you see him play in a different season, he hasn't plateaued. He hasn't taken a step backwards. He's gotten better. And so that to me is always going to be his greatest strength, that he understands that people are going to doubt him, they're going to question him, they're going to write him off, and he's got to keep proving it every time he goes out there to play football.
Okay, on the flip side, Kirk Cousins continues to do his thing in prime time, man. I mean, I told Lebo earlier, I usually kind of scoff at when people try to put out, you know, numbers like that. Oh, this guy's terrible on Monday nights, or this, you know, this guy's terrible on, mm-hmm. on Sundays on the West Coast or whatever. Because it's like, you know, what does that really mean? I mean, yeah. It's just a small sample size. But it's just like ever since people have been throwing these numbers out about how terrible Kirk Cousins is in prime time, he just like goes out every time and like outdoes himself. Is that just a real thing? I mean, what? How do you process that?
I think you can make numbers, you know, mean anything you want them to be. And so I'm like you. I don't put too much stock in it because on the flip side of that, he had a passer rating of 112 against the Eagles that was the highest for any quarterback against any team in NFL history. Like, he's always played at a high level against the Eagles. And so this felt more like it was just a bad night for him. And then they ran into a buzzsaw on both sides of the football, and they didn't have any real answers for it. Look, I would say the same thing about their defense that I would say about the way Cousins played in this game, that their defense is the key to their success this season because they've been disappointing the last couple years. And Jalen Hurts went for 300 yards and, what, four touchdowns against them, mm-hmm. right? And another 60 yards rushing. Like, literally was carrying them into the end zone on a couple plays, watching it right here on TV. So they need to get more help in those situations. It felt like they almost played as if Justin Jefferson is going to take over again. And once he didn't do that, there was no plan B.
What do you got for me now?
Yeah, it's like once you got – like Mike Tyson said, once you got hit, that plan goes out the window. So, but yeah, I don't really feel like Kirk Cousins is, he takes a lot of crap, but you look at his numbers last year, you look at his, you know, he's not phenomenal, but he's also not awful.
He is what he is.
Yeah, he's what
and
he is.
And I mean, they're going to win like 9 or 10 or 11
games.
He's
Derek Carr. He's yeah. Derek Carr. He's going to have great seasons and great moments, and he's going to have
and
some
they're
moments
probably
where you're like,
not yeah. ever going to lift a Lombardi.
Yeah.
And he'll retire and have $100 million. Which yeah. is, hey, listen, not everyone can win the whole thing. That's how it goes. Now, someone who looks like they're primed and poised to make a real run and looks motivated as anybody right now is the Buffalo Bills. And they have looked unbelievable in their first two games against legit real live Super Bowl champs and the one seed.
Yeah,
I mean this is the real deal. And it's a long season. And they had some really high highs last year. I mean, they came to Arrowhead Stadium and beat the Chiefs yeah. pretty easily. And then they fell on their face a couple of times after that. They lost to the freaking Jacksonville Jaguars and scored 6 points in a game. That seems like it's fantasy, like that's made up. Like you're trying to trick me. How could that have happened? But they did that last year. But they look right now really motivated, probably because of the way the season ended last year. They felt they played basically a perfect game, which they kind of did, and lost at Arrowhead Stadium. They probably feel like they would have won the Super Bowl had they won that game. And you know what? They might have won the Super Bowl had they won that game. Can they keep that up all year long? Because they look like they've made enough little moves in the offseason. If things don't get off the rails, they're going to be hell for everybody this year.
Yeah, oh, certainly. Yeah, I mean, I've said this before. They remind me a lot of the 2019 Chiefs,
mm-hmm.
where you had, you know, disappointment and heartbreak the year before. You've had a series of playoff setbacks. You've got talent in the room, and you feel like this is your time. And so there are a lot of parallels between those two teams, and even more so, I would say this about the Chargers as well, that I think sometimes when you are sitting in the catbird seats, like the Chiefs are right now, or Chiefs fans are now, you can look at other teams and say, oh, they're going to screw it up. They don't know how to win games. Well, every team goes through that progression. You know, the Chiefs went through that progression. And so the Bills now are at that point in that progression where they understand everything you need to know about winning a championship. And so it really is about being in the moment, playing every game as if it's, you know, the championship. I always talk to people about grew up in Michigan, longtime Detroit Pistons fan. I remember watching them as a kid, wanting them to be able to play with the Lakers and play with the Celtics in the 80s. And they got to a point where they had a really good roster, really good record, and they were playing the Celtics in the 1987 playoffs. And Dennis Rodman blocked a shot by Larry Bird in game five of that series. They were going to go back to Detroit. The Pistons were going to win. It was going to be great. They were going to go to the NBA Finals. You remember this game? Isaiah Thomas grabs the ball, tries to inbound it. Stolen. Larry Bird steals it, passes
Steal
to Dennis
by
Johnson.
Bird underneath the DJ, yep. Lays it in.
Layup. And that's what you have. That's what the Bills went through last season. That's what ignites you to that level where you can play championship level football, because that just as the Pistons went on, won two championships after that point, had to get to the Lakers. That's what the Bills have to do. Mm-hmm. That's their road. And so what I see now when they play, yeah, they're looking to destroy anybody who gets in their way. And that to me is that's hard to beat when you're playing at that level, you're that deep, you're that talented, and your quarterback is that good.
Okay, so and I mean I think we all see it. Right now, anybody to me that has any ounce of objectivity has watched these first 2 weeks says the Buffalo Bills look like the best team in the NFL. Yeah. Now, the interesting thing is going to be, are we saying that late in the season? This was an interesting one. Aaron Schatz put up that the Buffalo Bills DVOA through 2 weeks is the 12th best since 1981. And so they're, you know,
you gotta explain that stat to a layman like myself.
Dude, I can't
even know what that is.
That's defense.
He just threw it out there.
That's defense over something.
Do you think I know what all these advanced analytics mean? I don't know what it means. But all I know is that all these stats guys tell you is one of these important stats, right? So it's one of those metrics. That's all I know. It's supposedly – so, like, they're saying they're one of the top 12 teams through 2 weeks of the season. The 11 teams that rank above them, three of them made it to the Super Bowl. You know, like – let's see here. I mean, it's so gosh, if you go back and look at the best was Pittsburgh in 2005, Buffalo in 1981 went 10-6, Chicago in 1990 went 11-5, Green Bay in 1996 went 13-3, New England in 2007 went 16-0, Chicago 84. New England 2019.
Well, I'm not. Listen, I think the Bills' defense is great, but that's not why they're going to go.
Right.
It's great, but I don't care about their DVOA stats. I care about their whatever offensive metrics are, because that's what the defense may be maybe the point that carries them to a Super Bowl or something. But
I just, you know, the point is it's going to be a long season, and yes. We've seen times where, you know, a team looks like the greatest team in the world, and then something happens. And so here's an interesting one for you guys, because one of the big things the Bills did, right, they took that moment that you talked about, Jeff, and said, okay, 13 seconds. We just puked it away. What do we got to do? Where do we need to take a step? And they clearly said, and Lewis Riddick was talking about this when they opened up the broadcast last night before Dan Orlovsky made the mouth fart. And he said, look, they said we got to get after the quarterback. We got to get somebody in here that can take Patrick Mahomes down through the course of games. And so they go out and they get Von Miller. Von Miller jumps out to a big start in week number one. He's got three sacks, I believe, on the season right now. On the flip side, George Karloftis was the answer that the Chiefs went with by drafting him. He doesn't have any sacks yet. He's got a hit on the quarterback in each of his first two games. Von Miller's 33 years and 178 days old. At the end of the season, and this is a genuine question, I don't really know what I think about this. Who would you rather have when you get into December, January? George Karloftis or Von Miller right now?
Is this a serious question?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. You got COVID, right? I mean, he told me he got COVID, right? Did COVID affect the brain?
He's got the fog. You saying Von Miller's your answer on this?
Yeah, I'm going with Von Miller. Von Miller's got two Super Bowl rings. You see him play last year in the against the Bengals in the Super Bowl. He's one of the best players in football history. And so, yeah, I hear what you're saying as far as the youth. And yes, the only thing that will undo what the Bills are trying to do is our injuries. That is a part of the game. There's no question about that. But do I think Von Miller will have a huge impact on this team in this season? Yeah, I think he will over the course of the year, because I think that's what players like that do. It's like it's what Aaron Donald does. It's what Jalen Ramsey does. It's what Ed Reed or, you know, these Palomalu back in the day would do. They would elevate people. And I think what's really helped the Bills, not just his presence, but just his willingness to take guys like Boogie Basham and Greg Rousseau and these younger defensive linemen and take them under his wing, take them to his pass rushing camps in the offseason, show them what it's about. You know, when you haven't won a championship, there is something to be said for having someone in the room who does have a ring and understands what it takes. And so that's not just about the sacks. It's about, yeah, this guy is going to help us play at a different level.
Yeah, I think they may regret Von Miller in a few years because he's got a huge salary cap number or something. But this year, like, man, he looks like he's 24 years old right now.
Mm-hmm.
And that may not last. I don't know. But they're gonna, you know what they're going to start taking now? Everybody is taking notice. Both these games, they haven't been laying around on a Sunday. They've been Thursday night football.
Can I just ask a question to follow it up? Because obviously, so you make the point that I'm a crazy man for even posing the question. And look, George Karloftis hasn't done anything at the NFL level yet. I'm completely aware of that. What do we talk about with – and I'm not putting him in the same category as a player. I understand completely where one guy ranks versus the other, but what's the big thing we say about Carlos Dunlap for this team?
What is it? What do we say?
What can he hold up for the whole season? How much can you ask him to do at this stage in his career? How many snaps can the Chiefs ask him to play? I mean, like, he's 33 years old. He's close to 34. Von Miller's close to 34. We're not concerned about a guy at that age being able at the end of the season to do what he's doing right now?
Yeah, that's a legit concern. Yeah, I'm not saying it's not. I mean, that's what I said. The only thing that will undo their hopes are injuries. And so, yeah, it's very – the possibilities of Von Miller being hurt. If you're saying who's going to be healthy at the end of the year – who has a better chance, a 34-year-old or a 22-year-old? Yeah, I'll take the 22-year-old every time. But that's not what we're talking about here. And the impact a 34-year-old like Von Miller can have on the game is totally different than what a George Karloftis can have on the game. Now, and as great as Von Miller is, they have a deep defensive line where they do rotate the guys I just mentioned, Basham, Rousseau, are part of that mix in a lot. So he is not playing 60 snaps a game. In the way he would have, or whatever, would have been 40, 45 back in the days when he was with the Denver Broncos. And so, yeah, I mean, has he had injuries? Yeah. Is there a concern when you're that old? Yeah. But do I think that I'm going to sit here and say, well, look, hey, Patrick Mahomes could break his leg tomorrow. It doesn't mean the Chiefs aren't a good team.
Don't
it just means
like
they
that.
Have bad luck.
What are you talking like that for?
You know, I mean, that's just the reality. I mean, it's like those are always possible. I don't think it's – and I agree more with Todd said. I think down the road they'll be like, okay, this contract is, you know, untenable and we'll have to let him go.
But not this year.
You think about what he gave. Again, the Rams aren't winning the Super Bowl without Von Miller playing on that team last year.
No.
And I will say this. I mean, right now, he's still got it. he doesn't look old right now. And maybe that means he's not going to look old all year. I just found it curious. I just thought about that a little bit because it's a long season, man. You know,
when the Chiefs won a championship in 2019, they lost Mahomes for what, 2.5 games?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you're going to lose players. You're going to lose star players at some point. So yeah, your point is well taken.
That's the only point. And what is he healthy? And also just like, what does he have in the tank at the end of the season? Now, if you talk about the depth they have, and if they can rotate him and manage his snap counts all season long, maybe that's a moot point too. So that's why we ask you, Jeff. That's why I'm making money off you on DraftKings.
Hey, when
man.
The scores are 41-7, bro, you're getting a lot of rest. Trust me. Getting a whole lot of rest.
That's a good point. There was a lot of guys with their helmets off in the fourth quarter for the Bills. They look like a juggernaut right now. We'll talk more with Jeff Chidi. We got much more to cover with him. We'll talk about the suspension of Willie Gay and much more after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Can I kick it?
Man, there was so much to unpack from another crazy weekend in the NFL with Jeff Chidi. I don't even know how we're going to have time to get to all of it. But Jeff, while I'm bragging up the fact that I was listening to you to get ahead of the curve on the Philadelphia Eagles, and I bragged on myself being ahead of the curve last year on the Cincinnati Bengals. All of a sudden, the Bengals are 0-2 with losses to Mitch Trubisky and Cooper Rush. How do you explain that?
I explain it as T.J. Watt and Micah Parsons also play on those teams. Mm-hmm. So when you have those two guys rushing the passer, your life gets a lot harder. And so I try to tell people to pump the brakes on the Bengals offensive line being a disaster. It's like when you're playing the Steelers, you're playing the Cowboys, you're playing two really good defenses who get after the quarterback really well and who cover well on the back end. We've got playmakers on the back end with Trayvon Diggs in Dallas and Minkah Fitzpatrick in Pittsburgh. And so, look, I think the Bengals will be fine. They have to adjust some of what they do. There is an element of this of teams have had a season now, an offseason, look at what they do offensively and how they want to attack them. And let's face it, last year it wasn't just the offensive line being bad. Joe Burrow has a habit of holding on the football for a long period of time. And so they got to start using the quick game more. Got to start using the screen game more. Got to stop thinking every pass is going to end up being a 35, 40-yard bullet to Ja'Marr Chase and a touchdown. And so when I watched that Dallas game, I saw a lot of long developing plays. And that has as much impact on our offensive line looking bad as anything else. So, look, they lost in overtime to the Steelers. They lost by three to the Bengals. I mean, two to the Cowboys. They had a chance to win both those games pretty easily if something goes right. I'm not ready to give up on the Bengals just yet.
Okay, so, I mean, that's there's a little bit of an analogy there, isn't it? Because we can remember the Chiefs got off to a slow start last year. They weren't 0-2. They won their first game against the Browns, but then they lost their next two games. They started the season 2-3, and they had attempted to rebuild their offensive line from the year before. And the early returns on Orlando Brown were not positive. I remember, texting our little group, Todd, that they can't resign this guy, the way that Orlando Brown was playing at the beginning of last year. So what you're saying, I mean, do you see some similarities there? Because that's what the Bengals tried to do, right? They tried to rebuild this offensive line, and maybe it's going to take a while for it to come together.
Yeah. I mean, they've got good players. Lyle Collins is a good player. Alex Kappa is a good player. Ted Karras is a good player. Jonah Williams is a good player. They've got players over there who know how to do the job, and I think over the course of the year, yeah, they will get better. But look at it this way, too. I mean, the Chiefs changed what they were doing offensively, too. They stopped trying to hit tons of big plays down the field. Mahomes started taking what teams were giving them. And I do think there is a parallel there in that both those quarterbacks, Burrow and Mahomes, when they have great players around them, they want to get the ball to those great players. And as Mahomes learned last year, people are going to take Tyreek Hill away from you. Or they're going to
do the best they can,
to keep the big plays.
Ravens didn't.
Yeah. They did for a little bit.
Yeah. For a little bit they did. And then all of a sudden they had injuries and they play a different style of football. And it shouldn't be lost on anybody that Kyle Hamilton was involved in both those big plays that Tyreek Hill had. But I think Joe Burrow is learning a lesson that Patrick Mahomes learned last year, which is that just because you have great receivers doesn't mean that people will let you throw the football to them whenever you want to.
All right, the Chiefs are going to play the Colts on Sunday. The Colts look like a mess right now. The Chiefs are 2-0, but it wasn't perfect on Thursday. But they're gritty, and they found a way to win. We learned yesterday that Willie Gay is going to be out for four games, suspended by the league, and stemming from this incident earlier this year, which has already gone through the court system here, where he's got diversion and all that. And I think a lot of people have just kind of forgotten about it and didn't think the league was going to step in. We don't have to get into – it's hard to figure out what the league does and exactly how they're going to do it. Doesn't matter. What matters right now at this point is they're not going to have Willie Gay, who's been playing very well and has gotten better each and every year and an important part of their schedule against some teams that can – run the ball and do some things. How much will they miss this kid, especially this week with Jonathan Taylor, their home opener finally, with the Colts playing at home?
I think it's a huge loss just because of what everything you just said and that he's their fastest, most athletic linebacker and really good in pass coverage. When you take that away and you're relying on maybe that means more playing time for Leo Chenal. Who's the other guy? 47. I can't remember his name. Harris, the other backup.
Harris and Elijah Lee is up now.
Elijah Lee. Yeah. And so you're relying on guys who aren't bringing that same skill set to the table. And yeah, to see those guys, to see what's coming. Jonathan Taylor. And you know, as bad the Colts have been looking, they got to find a way to get Jonathan Taylor the football. I wouldn't be surprised if he had 40 carries in this game just for that reason, because they are just so, like you said, they are a train wreck right now. The same thing with the Bucks. They're having to run the football more. So Leonard Fournette's getting tons of carries. And then you're talking about the Raiders, right, with Josh Jacobs, and you're talking about the Bills with everything they're bringing to the table. So, yeah, I think it's a huge, huge hole in their defense that is not easily resolved. And we're saying this in the break. I mean, what happened with Frank Clark? I mean, he's got a conviction as well, that or a plea agreement
that we've thought, you know. And Andy's been asked about that. Have you heard anything from the league? Oh, no, nothing. And then no one even like really asked about Willie Gay, because I think people just thought, well, he just got diversion. There's nothing going to happen here. They're different things.
It's different. And I think I do believe that because it is a domestic situation, given what happened with Deshaun Watson, given what happened with the punter in Buffalo, the league is highly sensitized to these kinds of issues right now. And it's just not going to let anybody skate, no matter what the details say. If you are in
or the details that we think we know, because there's a good chance that the league knows more details about that night than we know from a police report.
Yeah, people hear vacuum cleaner and think, oh, that's all that happened. He put a hole in a wall. Well, it's like you got arrested and you went to jail and you were in the system. Something happened.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but I always tell people this too. It's when it's somebody you care about, it's amazing how different you react to it, as opposed to when it's somebody else's player who you think, okay, I know everything about this guy. He should never play in this league again. Now that it's Willie Gay, I've seen a lot of people, oh, it's just a vacuum cleaner. You know, this is crazy. Yeah. And it's just like, no, it's all in the same boat when it comes to domestic violence with the league.
And that stuff gives me a really bad taste in my mouth when I see people start getting on Twitter and griping about this punishment versus that punishment, because it usually comes down to which team I'm rooting for.
Yep.
And that's not what this is about. This is about, you know, a man in a house with a woman and a child and allegations of physicality and a terrifying situation for those people, if it indeed happened. And that's a lot more important than whether or not my football team is going to win a couple games here. You know, that's not what we should be basing our opinions on with these things. So that's an ugly side of what I guess it means to be a fan, and I'm just not really interested in participating in it. So, the Chiefs are going to have to deal with it. He's out for four games. Some guys get hurt. Some guys get suspended, like you said, and they've got to deal with it going forward. One other theme I wanted to talk to you about, Jeff, from this past week is that, I guess we need a break. I'll do a little tease then.
Marco got you, huh?
Yeah, he got me, right. Is the AFC West what we thought it was compared to the rest of the league? And is it too early to say? We'll get Jeff's thoughts on that as we continue on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Okay, wrap things up with Jeff Chedia. All right, Jeff, going into the season, AFC West, with all the quarterbacks, supposed to be the best division in the AFC, if not in the entire NFL. The AFC East, we're overreacting again to 1 week. AFC East goes 4-0, and the AFC West goes 1-3, with the Chiefs being the only win. Is the AFC West overrated? Is the AFC West what we thought it was?
No, it's two games in. You're having one coach in Denver trying to figure things out. That's a bit of a surprise, but I thought Denver was the third best team in the division going in. I thought the Raiders were the worst team going in, and they've had a couple of tough losses against, you know, last week was inexcusable. You're up 20-0 at home. You should close out the Arizona Cardinals. But they lost to the Chargers in week one, so I won't hold that against them. And then the Chargers, what you saw when they came in here and played, obviously are one of the top three or four teams in football. And so I would put the Chiefs and the Chargers, the way they're playing right now, up against any other team. I mean, even the AFC East. Yeah, the Dolphins are a nice little story, and they could prove a lot this week. And Buffalo's the most dominant team, but every other division out there is struggling, you know, to keep pace. I mean, the AFC South is a disaster. The AFC North is a mess right now. You know, the NFC throughout every division there's all kinds of weaknesses. So yeah, I think just it's in a different way of it happening. Yeah, the AFC West to me is still the best division in football.
Yeah, we got to watch it for a while to see how it goes. Yeah. That Raiders thing, boy. Man, you're up. You give up two touchdowns and 2-point conversions, and then you get the ball because Cliff Kingsbury is crazy. He went for a fourth down, and you fumble it away. Yep. It's just – it's very Raidery.
Well, you can't – the same thing happened with the Chargers here, and I know that was a long time ago now, but it's just – it's the Chiefs' ability to understand how to win games is worth its weight in gold right now.
Because, well, that's the embarrassing part for the Raiders, because I don't think anyone would ever accuse Cliff Kingsbury of knowing how to grind it out and win games. You know what I mean?
Outscrew up Cliff Kingsbury is hard to do.
It is. It was that was something. That was as crazy, and there were a lot of crazy things. I mean, the Browns.
Four games.
It was just
double-digit leads. People blowing them.
It was nuts. I mean, the Browns.
How about the Rams up 25?
As a guy with Chubb on my fantasy team, I'm glad he ran it into the end zone, you know. But if he goes down there, they win the game. Hey, let's talk about the Nathaniel Hackett thing a little bit, because it's been a disastrous start for his coaching tenure in Denver. It was interesting that night. I'm watching the Sunday night game, and Chris Collinsworth is talking about how Nathaniel Hackett's actually the guy that got to Green Bay and helped Aaron Rodgers enjoy football again and all that stuff. So maybe there's a little window into what he can bring to the table and how he can keep that team. But what kind of a challenge is on his hands within his own locker room, Jeff, after the way the season has started and him seeming to have a team that's unprepared for normal situations in a football game?
Oh, it's immense, and you look, he's not only coaching as a head coach for the first time in his career, he's calling plays, which he did not do. I know he did it in Jacksonville, but he did not do that in Green Bay, and so he's trying to find a rhythm here and trying to find a balance that is super hard to strike, and I know that it's always tough in a situation to give up control and to delegate stuff. He'd be better off having an offensive coordinator call plays just so he could get his feet under him, his legs under him, because he's got a new owner too. And these people weren't around when they hired him. And then I guarantee you when they're sitting in that stadium on last Sunday watching the crowd boo him and watching the crowd counting down the play clock as it's going, hoping that he'll not blow it or not get a delay of game penalty, like all this stuff is going to impact him. And he's still learning his roster to a certain respect. He's still learning his quarterback. And so those are the things that you knew were going to be a challenge going into it. Look, if they make a kick against Seattle, we're not having this conversation, and maybe we're just talking about him being like Mike McCarthy boob-like at times. But yeah, I think when you have the loss you had in week one and then you combine it with the issues they had, the sloppiness, the delay of game stuff in week two, you do risk losing your locker room. At the very least, you risk losing your ownership believing in you. And so that's not a good place to be as a young head coach.
All right, Jeff, what do you think is going to happen between the Chiefs and the Colts coming up on Sunday at noon?
Well, I picked the Colts to lose this game going into the season, so I don't see anything that would change my mind about that. I mean, the Chiefs are the better team, but there is, I think, not having Willie Gay, the Colts starting the way they started the season. If Michael Pittman and Shaquille Leonard can play in this game, I might feel differently about it. But if they're not healthy as they were last week, I just don't see the Chiefs losing this game. So I'd go Chiefs right now.
Think the Colts keep it close? 7-point spread right now.
I think they'll run the football. They'll try to.
Nate's looking for gambling advice. Okay,
yeah,
that's
exactly.
What he's looking
for. He wants another Eagles. He wants another. He's looking at FanDuel right now, thinking,
well,
okay,
man, I'm on DraftKings.
Yeah. Okay. No, I think it's probably a lower scoring game, probably somewhere around 24-21, because there's no reason for them to get into any kind of a shootout with the Chiefs, given what they're dealing with right now.
When teams get their butts kicked in the NFL, they usually come out the next week looking to establish the run game and you know, earn some of that pride back. So I think I'm with you on that. Jeff, thank you so much for the time, man. We appreciate it. We'll talk to you next week.
No problem, man. Go KU. Go Jayhawks,
hey,
huh?
Hey, I was going to ask you if your Wolverines might be a little, you know, get your attention up there.
Let's slow your roll. Let's pump the brakes on that. You got your GED. Let's not get the PhD just yet.
Yeah, you're right. We're just trying we're just trying to get into college.
That's right.
Okay.
that's next level stuff.
That's right. And we will see you all tomorrow morning right here on the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
The Border Patrol has been brought to you by Walker Medical Linen Services, setting the standard in healthcare laundry services for hospitals, surgery centers, and medical clinics in Kansas City. Walker Medical Linen delivers laundry you can depend on. HLAC certified to the highest standards. It's Walker Medical Linen Services, online at walkermls.com.
Bye-bye.